Did you follow us in Israel?
Yes.
You could have friended us. Friended us, by the way, is not, you know, that always, in the spell check, that always comes out red. There's no such word. Befriended, that's a word that, you know, could have friended us, tweeted us on Twitter, Skyped us, YouTubed us. I sent a daily video blog. I don't know if you saw that, but you were invited to go to the website. All 5 days are on there. I gave some reports, and you'll see also some of the several thousand pictures that we took. We were 15 leading clergy in New York City, 5 Reform rabbis and conservative rabbis, 8 Protestant and Catholic ministers, and 2 imams. Israel really had never seen such a collection of people before. It's a minor miracle to bring so many clergy in one place at one time in New York City for an hour, let alone 5 days in Israel. I'll speak to the congregation next week more at length about our mission, and we're also working on a public meeting and a reunion here in our synagogue of as many of the clergy that can attend. I can pretty much assure you that more attended in Israel that will attend here, but a lot will attend here. Sometime within the next 2 weeks, we think it's going to be Monday night, January 23rd, so you're all invited to come. I just want to say a few words for today. We were all on a high yesterday. In late morning, we met with Israeli President Shimon Peres in the President's House in Jerusalem, and then rushed to an early afternoon meeting with Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad in Ramallah, a distance of perhaps 10 miles at most from the President's House, but in many respects half a world away. I mentioned to the President of Israel that we were meeting the Palestinian Prime Minister immediately after the meeting with him, and he told me to send his regards to Salam Fayyad and express Israel's support of him personally and his policies. Both of them, the Israeli president and the Palestinian prime minister, spoke practically the same words. Words of coexistence, of peace, reconciliation. They both spoke softly and modestly. Now, they hadn't worked out their messages in advance. You know, it's not like they coordinated what they would say to us. It's not like their staffs spoke with each other in advance. They didn't speak beforehand. But both of them spoke the same words. Both of them spoke of the necessity of implementing a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Peres emphasized that a Palestinian state is in Israel's national self-interest. We're not going anywhere. And they're not going anywhere either, the president said. And citing this week's Torah portion, Shemot, in the book of Exodus, the beginning passages of that book of Exodus of slavery and freedom, Shimon Peres reminded the religious leaders that it took the Jewish people 40 years of wandering in the desert to get to the promised land and 2,000 more years of exile before restoring Jewish self-determination, and that it will take time to work out Israel's relationship with the Palestinian people. But in the meantime, he told us, you clergy, you need to help us to work towards reconciliation. You need to convey the message of religious moderation and not extremism. No more than 2 hours later, I told Salam Fayyad, the Palestinian prime minister, what Shimon Peres asked us to convey to him. I said that the president sends his regards and that Israel is appreciative of Fayyad's economic accomplishments of building the foundations of statehood from the bottom up. It's amazing to see the building boom in Ramallah. Everywhere you look, a new ultra-modern building is coming up. This is partially due to the significant coordination between the Israeli military and the Palestinian military and the Israeli authorities and the Palestinian authorities that neither party really wants to speak about too much publicly. And this economic development is being led and overseen by Prime Minister Salam Fayyad. Fayyad said what Peres said. We must resolve this conflict based on a solution acceptable to both sides. Otherwise, it will not be sustainable, and that the solution must involve territorial compromise. And Fayyad agreed. The solution to the problem does not lie in New York, at the United Nations, The solution lies on the Jerusalem Ramallah Road. It was really fascinating to hear that, because Abbas was here in the United Nations 3 months ago asking for statehood. And the prime minister said that's not the way. The way is the Jerusalem Ramallah axis. Both emphasized to our delegation the explosive power of religion to destroy and the enormous power of religion to heal. Our Lord is not a Lord of war, Shimon Peres said. We cannot let religious extremists hijack the message of peace that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam preach. To terrorize in the name of religion is not religion. It is psychosis, said Peres. Fayyad told us too. We must find a way to reconcile religious differences. Otherwise, there will be no possibility of a political solution. I couldn't help but think that if Shimon Peres and Salam Fayyad found themselves on an American university campus teaching a joint course, Fayyad earned a PhD in economics from the University of Texas, they would be the best of friends. It's only when one of them is in Jerusalem and the other is 10 miles away in Ramallah, the distance between the two is not much larger than the entire distance from one end of the campus of University of Texas to another. It's only in Israel and Ramallah that they find themselves on opposite sides of the security barrier. These messages that they gave us really brought the group into full circle. Religious moderates have an obligation to be active and vocal. We cannot leave the field to extremists. At its best, religion is a source of inspiration, not intimidation. At its best, religion is about setting hearts ablaze with a burning passion for the love of our neighbors, not setting holy books ablaze with a burning passion for the hate of our neighbors. We must be on the side of those who seek to inspire, not intimidate, vocally. If religion is for anything, it is for life. The key insight of religion is the insistence on the distinctiveness of the human creature. All were created by God. Only human beings were created in the image of God. Every religious principle flows from this axiom. If both you and I have been created in God's image, we have equal sanctity, equal worth, and equal dignity. Reverence for life is religion's primary preoccupation. It cannot be emphasized enough. The fundamental religious principle is the sanctity of life. Whoever sheds blood destroys the image of God, proclaimed the great sage Akiva. The Talmud states that to save a person's life is akin to saving the world entire, and to destroy a person's life is to destroy the world. Islam has the same principle. I have heard imams quoted to me many times without them even realizing that it was written in the Talmud 500 years before the birth of Islam. In the end, this was our purpose. In putting together and executing this religious mission, it's what our donors, all of whom were from our congregation, wanted to promote. We are on a search for partners who believe in saving life, not destroying life. Our era has placed a sacred obligation on the forces and figures of religious moderation to speak up and to build up. In an era when the world is saturated with religious extremism, upright leaders must uphold standards of religious decency and morality, lest we call into question the very existence of the religious enterprise itself. And our very presence in Israel and the Palestinian territories broadcast the message that we want to stand with those who are moderate, who are upright, and who represent standards of decency and morality. that we seek to support those who are partners in progress, not the enemies of progress. And while there is a place for the use of force, in my words of introduction to Shimon Peres, I thanked him on behalf of the Jewish people and the rabbis who were present there for being the architect of Israel's defense industry in the early years of the creation of the state. While there is a place for armies, the higher purpose of Judaism is to seek peace and pursue it. We seek to stand with those who speak of peace, not war, and who emphasize virtue, not violence. Eizehu gibor, who is a hero, ask our sages. He who turns an enemy into a friend. I think that this is the greatest need of our times, to turn enemies into friends.